I want to talk this morning about walking on a cloud of innocence instead of walking under a cloud of guilt and shame. And let me tell you where this started. It was actually several Christmases ago. The family went to the mall to do some shopping. And the mall was very crowded, lots of families there, you know, doing Christmas shopping. And so while the girls were all in one store, us guys were outside in the mall area watching people go by. And I began to notice a pattern, especially if there was one or two teenage girls with their mother. The teenage girls were just bopping along and their heads held high. And man, there's just not a care in the world. They're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, you know. And the mothers were kind of shoulders down, heads down, and they were shuffling along. Now, it wasn't everybody, but it was generally you could see the difference between the young girl and where she's going to be 20 years later. And I began to wonder about that and began to wonder what's going on. These young girls seem to be walking on a cloud of innocence, and yet their moms are walking under a cloud of guilt and shame. It's just got them all weighed down. Now, I'm sure that the guys, us guys, have a tendency to walk under a cloud of guilt and shame just like the ladies do. But you know, we're not very in touch with our feelings, and we have this bravado thing that we do to keep folks from seeing who we are. And so it wasn't so obvious to the guys, but it was obvious with the women. It was obvious that the girls, the young girls, were walking on a cloud of innocence, and yet their mom, the older women, were walking under a cloud of guilt and shame. So, sure, the young girls had sinned. You know, they'd done things they hadn't done. They'd already had failures in their life. But they hadn't had 40 years of dreams that they had seen just evaporate instead of come true. They hadn't had 40 years of failures and mistakes in their life. They hadn't had 40 years where they were battling some sin that they just couldn't seem to ever get victory over, you know, like the mom was. And as a matter of fact, there's always folks along the way who are just so willing to point out every single failure. Sometimes it's our spouse, sometimes it's our children, sometimes it's parents, even grandparents, that point out and what's going on, that drag us down and cause our failures to drag us down. And life just has a way of beating us down, you know. If you live long enough, you're going to get your teeth kicked in a few times, and it's going to add up, and it's going to weigh you down. This is the way we are. But I contend that God doesn't want us to live that way. I contend that God wants us to be innocent and to know we're innocent and to act like we're innocent. He doesn't want us under that cloud of guilt and shame. He wants us on a cloud of innocence. And so I want to talk a little bit about what does it mean to walk under a cloud of guilt and shame? How do you know if you're doing it? How do we get out from under that? What does innocence look like? What does guilt look like? Those kind of things. And I want to start with what does innocence feel like and look like? Have you ever watched calves or colts out in a field playing? You know, they're kicking up their heels and they're jerking their heads back and forth and they're jumping and they're playing and having fun. That's innocence. That's a picture of innocence. Watch children play. They just play with such exuberance and such joy and such innocence. I remember one time our daughter was about 2 years old and she was sitting in her high chair, and it was a room about like that, so that she was here and I was about 10 or so feet away. Couldn't get to her quickly. And as I'm watching her, she's eating, and she has just come out of the sippy cup stage, okay? So she has a big girl cup, and it's got a little milk in it. And she takes that cup of milk, and you can see what's going through her mind as she takes this cup of milk, and she begins to lift it up and tip it over, and the milk starts coming out and falling down on her tray, and she's lifting it higher and higher, and the more it falls, the bigger her eyes get, and her mouth is wide open and grinning, and this is just so exciting. This is a physics experiment for a 2-year-old, you know. For the parent, this is a mess being made. You know, this is something that people don't do. But for her, she was innocent. And, you know, Debbie and I haven't done everything right in raising our kids, but this was at least one moment I got right. Because instead of me jumping up and rushing over there, "Ah, what are you doing? Quit doing that. Don't do that." Instead of me doing that, I recognize she's innocent in this. She go over there, get the cup. "Okay, now, sweetie, we don't pour our milk out on our tray," and started cleaning up, you know. We survived that okay without causing her trauma that she's going to have to live with in her life. But the point is, I'm talking about what does innocence look like? Because most of us, by the time we get to 40 or 50 or wherever we happen to be, we've kind of forgotten how it feels to be innocent. And it's God's nature to forgive us. And think about this a minute. When God forgives us, He doesn't just say, okay, I'm going to take the penalty for your sin, and I'm going to take that for you. He doesn't just do that. He says, I'm going to declare, when you ask for my forgiveness, I'm going to declare that you have never sinned. I'm going to absolve you of the responsibility. I'm going to say, you're clean and innocent now. See, so God, when we say God wants to forgive us, what we're really saying is God wants us to not only be innocent, but to know that we're innocent. So God forgives us. He washes our sins away. In Isaiah, He talks about, come to me, I'll make your sins as white as wool, you know, wash them completely away. The psalmist talks about our sins being put as far as the east is from the west. I mean, God really wants to take our sins away. Turn to Romans 4. We're going to look at a couple scriptures in Romans today. And let's look at, when God forgives you, where does that leave you? Romans 4, the very last verse there is verse 25. We're going to read that one and then the next one after it. He who was delivered up because of our transgressions, talking about Jesus, who was delivered up for our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we are forgiven, we are justified. Now, if you look the word justified up, it means to be declared to be free of blame and absolved. Absolved means to pronounce free of guilt or free of blame. And I have heard folks say that this is what justified means. And I think it's a great, great saying. That when I've been forgiven, then I am just if I'd never sinned. Justified. Just if I'd never sinned. That's what that means. Now, this takes us back to the idea of feeling guilty even after we've been forgiven. You've been forgiven, but you know what you did. You have the knowledge of the guilt and shame. And it makes it nearly impossible for us to break the patterns of sin and failure in our lives because we know. We know what we did. It's just the way we human beings are. You know, if you can't see your innocence, then you can't act in that innocence. But when God forgives you, you become just as innocent as a baby. That's what I'm talking about when I say you're innocent. Wouldn't it be good if we could feel that way? Wouldn't it be good if we could walk through our day instead of remembering the failures, remembering the sins, just walk through the day knowing that we're innocent? Woohoo! I'm innocent. It's if I'd never sinned. And feel that way. Feel it from the inside. Have a revelation knowledge of that. Yes, I know when we make mistakes, we need to learn lessons from that. Let's carry the lesson around with us. Let's not carry the guilt and shame around with us from that. I began to understand what it was like to be innocent a couple of years ago now. Part of my program for life is that I like to pray at least an hour every day. And I like to pray in the Spirit more than that, but I want to at least be praying an hour a day. And I went through a period of about a week where it was just real busy, real hectic. I wasn't just very spiritually minded and whatever was going on. And so, although my intent was to pray an hour every day, I wasn't praying an hour every day. Matter of fact, some days I might be praying 5 or 10 minutes, you know, then I'd get busy and then I'd think, oh yeah, now this afternoon I'm gonna pray. But then afternoon would come and I'd pray for 3 minutes and I'd, my hair's on fire, I gotta go do something, and you know, off I'd be. I gotta pray now in the morning. Tomorrow morning, I'm not gonna do anything before I pray, and then of course I didn't pray. Well, I went through about a week of this, and by the time I had gone through about 7 days of not praying hardly at all, I was feeling pretty guilty. And I really wasn't even interested in talking to the Lord about this. I mean, by now it's kind of like, I'm ashamed to go to you, Lord. This is, maybe I should just quit praying altogether and just never bother you again because, you know, just something ain't right here. And I knew better than that. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to ask you to forgive me. I was praying with prayer, most merciful God, we confess we've sinned against you, and, you know, thought, word, and deed, etc. And I said, okay, Lord, I want you to forgive me for not praying. And when I said that, the Lord said, you're innocent. And it was like, I am? But I didn't pray all week. And then it dawned on me, I have asked him to forgive me. I am now in a place this day, instead of carrying around this, oh, I haven't prayed for a week, I sure hope I can get to it today, instead of carrying that weight around, I'm now in a place where I have prayed for an hour at least every day all of my life. I am that innocent. And it was amazing. It just freed me up to be able to pray. And I spent way more than an hour that day with the Lord because I wanted to, because I was innocent, because I was free, because I felt good. I was walking in innocence. So that's the picture that I'm talking about. Okay, now the other side of this, of course, is the guilt and shame thing. Let's talk some about that and what does that look like. Guilt and shame is a relentless taskmaster. Some minor guilt and shame, of course, is probably a good thing for us because it helps us do the right thing. But I'm talking about like chronic guilt and shame, the kind of stuff that really begins to weigh us down, deep-seated guilt and shame. It's like chains that really tie us to our sins and our failures. Human behavior is often very counterintuitive. You would think we always do what's going to make sense and what's the best for us, but we don't. We're often driven by these chains of guilt and shame, like the little girl that grows up in a family where her father beats her and her mother. Most of the time, that little girl is going to grow up, and the man she marries, although everybody thinks he's a wonderful guy, is going to turn out to be a wife beater. And after a few years, I've heard this story many times, you have too, after a few years, she leaves that guy, marries somebody else, and guess what? She finds another wife beater that nobody knew was a wife beater. Intuitively, down on the inside of her, that guilt and shame that she got from what her father was doing to her gives her an instant radar to find somebody to continue to perpetuate that guilt and shame. And you know what's crazy about it is that guilt and shame doesn't even come from something she did. And this is something somebody else did to her. And she's carrying that around. And it's affecting her life in ways that you would think, oh, that just doesn't make sense. No, it's not logical, Mr. Spock, okay? That's just the way we human beings are. We are not meant to carry guilt and shame. We're meant to walk in innocence. When you've done something really stupid, and especially when you've done it over and over again, I know I'm not the only one who has had difficulty contending with things over and over again, and you ask God to forgive you time and time again. You just can't count how many times you've asked Him to forgive you. What happens is you get in this vicious cycle. We sin, we do something dumb, we feel guilty about it and shame, and so then we do it again, which makes us feel even more guilty and shameful, which means we even more likely then to do it again. There was a guy in the Charlotte newspaper recently that was convicted of molesting children. He said, this is not an excuse. I know I'm responsible for what I've done, but I was molested by my stepmother when I was a child. And although I'd sought some help, I never got any help. He said, I was so relieved when I was arrested because now this cycle will stop. He realized that he had been put in this cycle of guilt and shame. He couldn't get out of it. And matter of fact, I think most of us are in that to some extent. The longer we live, the more we are subject to that, and I believe that we can't get out of that without God's help. Now, let me give you some practical thoughts here. How do you know? This is like David Letterman, right? He's got the 10 things. How do you know if you're under the cloud of guilt and shame? Well, one way you know is that you have some things that keep going through your mind. You keep remembering situations where you are guilty with what you did or you feel shameful about something, and that just kind of keeps going through your mind. You can't stop it. Sometimes folks that are really walking under guilt and shame, you can watch them. They're saying, I'm sorry, all the time to everybody in every situation. Or you keep asking God to forgive you of things that you have already asked God to forgive you of. I'm not talking about you ask God to forgive you and then you did it again. I mean, you did it, you haven't done it since, and yet you're continually asking God to forgive you. That means you're probably operating under a cloud of guilt and shame. When you remember a moment something that has happened to you, and you cringe with embarrassment, even though nobody else knows what you're thinking, you're under a cloud of guilt and shame. Remember that guilt and shame comes from lots of places. It can come from sins that we've committed. It can come from failures of our own, dumb things that we have done. But it can also come to us from things done by others, like we've been talking about. The divorce. And the children in the divorce are certain that the parents are getting divorced because of them. It is their fault. And they carry that with them into adulthood and often have a difficult time having a stable marriage. As Debbie was talking about, the little girl or the little boy that's molested as a child, they carry that guilt and shame with them. Severe criticism. You live in a family where somebody's criticizing you all the time. You're going to grow up under a cloud of guilt and shame. You're going to have help from God to get healing from that. Unless you've consciously worked through those feelings of guilt and shame, unless you are consciously thinking about, oh yeah, I'm innocent, I need to walk in that today, you're probably not going to. That's what this whole lesson is about today, is to give us some visibility into those things so we can be thinking about them, so we can let God work in those processes, so we can be free from guilt and shame, we can actually start walking in innocence. And so let me talk just a little bit before we conclude about how to get out from under the cloud of guilt and shame, okay? I think there are two parts to the process. One part of the process is that we have to clearly see that we're walking under a cloud of guilt and shame. You have to recognize that for what it is. And then the second part to that is you have to go through a process with the Holy Spirit where the Holy Spirit can heal you. And I want to address both of those just kind of briefly here. If you don't recognize guilt and shame for what it is, for the evil that it is, then you're just going to carry it around with you. It's like carrying around a burlap sack full of poisonous snakes, and you don't know what's in that bag. Now, Matt, if I gave you a burlap bag, here, take my bag, okay, and then I later tell you, oh yeah, that's got rattlesnakes in it, and they're alive, what would you do? Bah! I mean, you'd drop that bag and you'd run, right? I mean, this is, yeah. Try to give it back. That's right. If you're carrying a bag of guilt and shame around with you, you need to recognize that. You need to know it. God has to reveal that to you. So like that bag of poisonous snakes, man, you can drop it and run for your life. If you ask God to forgive you and you still feel the guilt and shame, you're operating under a lie. Now listen to that. If you have prayed and said, God, forgive me, and yet you still feel guilty about whatever that is, you have believed a lie. Because the truth is, when you ask God to forgive you, He forgives you. He sets you free from the guilt of that. You may not feel like it. That becomes a personal problem, right? That's your problem, not God's. That's not how God's working. You're believing a lie. Look at Romans 8 and 1 through 4 and see what the process is. When God forgives us, what happens? 8 and 1 Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No, that's quantity zero. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Forgiving us, by the work that Jesus did, forgiving us, we are set free from that law of sin and death. The law of sin and death says, when you do something wrong, you're condemned. And the only way to get out of that is by doing everything right. Well, we can't do that. You know, Paul said, but there aren't any human beings made that can do that. And that's why it was so important for God to send Jesus so that He can do that for us. When God forgives us, He does two things. He declares us righteous and He delivers us from the penalty of sin. Most of us just think of it, well, He forgave me. Now I don't have to worry about going to hell. It's much more than that. He says, okay, you're forgiven. You're righteous now. Look on in the last part of that same chapter. Let's start with verse 31 of Romans 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Now listen to this. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? That's those who've been forgiven. Who's going to bring a charge against them? Say, well, it's not God, because he's the one that justifies. Okay, well, then who is going to condemn them? He says, it's not Jesus Christ. He's the one that died for them. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? When we feel feelings of condemnation, when we feel like we're still guilty, where is it coming from? It ain't coming from God, that's for sure. It's certainly not coming from Jesus. It may be coming from our own mind. It may be coming from the enemy, but it's not coming from our Lord. If you've ever been forgiven by God, you're not condemned. Ever. Period. Even if you murdered somebody, if you get forgiveness, you're clean of that in God's eyes. Now, you may not be clean of that in the law's eyes, but you are in God's eyes. Now, once you see the guilt and the shame, just seeing it isn't enough. We still have to have help getting rid of it, okay? And I think there are three main sources of the guilt and shame and three ways that God helps us get rid of it. The first one is that we've misunderstood something. We believed a lie. Like the situation of the girl who was beaten by her father believed a lie that there's something wrong with her. And so, to me, the solution to that is a type of inner healing that I call just going back into that situation and look at the situation through God's eyes. Say, Lord, I want you and your Holy Spirit to take me back to the time when this began to happen. And I want you to let me see this situation, not through my eyes. I want you to let me see this situation through the eyes of Jesus. I was counseling with a woman who had grown up with severe criticism. I mean, her mother criticized her about everything all the time. And she just was under this cloud. And she was an older woman. I mean, she was still under this cloud at 70. Her mother was still alive, and her mother still criticized her biscuits and everything else about her, and she was under this cloud. And so I started talking to her about this concept. You need to get in your prayer closet. You need to go back to some of these situations when you were a girl, instead of telling me about it. Tell the Lord about it. Say, Lord, go with me to that situation and help me to see this through your eyes. She did this, and the Lord began to reveal to her, and boy, she was so excited. She calls me up. Let me tell you what the Lord showed me. I began to see Mother, is what she called her. I began to see Mother and what was going on. And I realized she put everybody down. She was always criticizing everybody. She had believed a lie that if I put other people down, that'll make me look better. And so it was on her own internal feelings of self-worthlessness that made her criticizing me, thinking somehow that was going to make her look better. And I realized that now. It wasn't me. It wasn't things I had done. It wasn't what I was doing wrong. It was her and what was wrong in her heart. And I'm praying for forgiveness for her now. I'm praying God will forgive her for being that way, and God will show her she doesn't have to be that way, and I want to try to build her up now. You see, she had believed a lie, and because of that, for 70 years had carried guilt and shame with her because of that lie. She believed it's, I deserve this somehow. The second area is when the enemy brings to us feelings of guilt and shame. You know, the enemy lies to us, right? We all know about the devil's a liar. What I don't think we realize is that one of the ways he lies to us is with false emotions. The devil can bring emotions of fear. I've seen him bring emotions of guilt. I've seen him bring emotions of jealousy. I had to deal with this early on in serving God. I had just been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I was about 15, 16, and I had periods where I'd be just going along my way. Everything was happy. And all of a sudden, within about 5 seconds, I went from being happy and carefree to being in a rage. I was just angry at the world and anybody that was around me and near me. And I was ready to just pop heads off. And I mean, whatever, you know, I was in a rage. Lord showed me that's an evil spirit that's bringing that emotion of rage. Now, wow. Okay, and so what I began to do is when that would begin to happen, in the name of Jesus, I would tell that spirit, you're going to have to leave me alone. You got to go. But my body was, the chemistry of my body was so worked up by then I had to realize I ain't going to feel better for about 20 minutes. I better be praising the Lord and get off by myself so I don't hurt somebody, because it'll take about 20 minutes for my body to calm down. But that was an evil spirit. Sometimes our feelings of guilt can come to us from the enemy. I counseled a woman that was having problems with that, and it was the enemy who was accusing her, the accuser of the brethren, if you will, and was accusing her. She had to deal with that evil spirit before she could get rid of the guilt and shame. The third area is that sometimes we just need to be healed mentally and emotionally from the guilt and shame, especially things that we've done. When Debbie and I first started going through some of this, the Lord began to put her through a series of revelations, and they happened at night through dreams. The Lord would give her a dream of a time that she had gone through that she was carrying guilt and shame from. And so then she would wake up in the middle of the night, and she would wake me up, and being the good husband that I was, instead of going, "Huh? What? What?" I'd say, "Yes, dear, I'll be glad to pray with you." And we would pray for the Lord to heal that guilt, to take the, not necessarily take the memories away, but take away the feelings of guilt and shame that were associated with those memories. And the Lord did that. It was a very miraculous healing, mental and emotional healing. And we went through that for a week. And then recently, the Lord has done it again a couple of times. "You know, I just had a dream about so-and-so last night, and I know it was from the Lord, and I didn't realize I still have some feelings about that. I still am carrying some guilt and shame about that particular situation or that particular person." And so we would join hands and we'd pray together for the Lord to heal that guilt. In conclusion, life seems to be designed to just pile up on top of us a load of guilt and shame, doesn't it? And that load just seems to grow every year that we live. But our loving Heavenly Father wants to forgive us, and He wants to take away the guilt and the shame, and He wants to make sure that we know that we are innocent so we can walk in that. And the knowing of innocence, I think, is just as much a spiritual thing, a miracle, as the getting rid of the guilt. And so my prayer for you is that you will see your guilt and shame, and then that God will give you grace to let it go. And I pray that God will show you how to let go and be healed of the guilt and shame. Then I am praying for you that God will give you a revelation, a spiritual revelation of your innocence, a supernatural revelation of your innocence. And that God will show you that deep down on the inside of you that you really, 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 really have been forgiven. And that means that your sin and guilt has been completely washed away. You are innocent once again. You're free to act like an innocent person. You're free now to do the right thing.